Well, let me start off with a couple questions for you. What do you get when you mix Harry Houdini, a basketball, and the 17th president of the United States? Magic Johnson. You were almost there, weren't you? Well, let me ask the second question. I think this one's going to be easier. How many magicians does it take to do magic? Just one will do the trick. Marta, thank you for being our lead laughter specialist. Take after Marta. Magicians do tricks. That's what they do. Sometimes they're pulling a rabbit out of their hat, or they got a deck of cards and they're going to tell you what card you drew and things like that. But one of the biggest tricks that magicians do is they make things disappear, right? In fact, magicians will famously say this: now you see it, now you don't. Okay? What would it be like if we said just the opposite? Based on today's scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I've entitled today's sermon this way: now you don't see it, now you do. Now you don't see it, now you do. Well, let's see how I got there with that. Opening up 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 1 through 5. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Seems like these words are just a continuation of what Paul's already been writing in his letter so far. This is key right here. Paul is relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to share the gospel. That's a takeaway for us from the message already. All you have to do to share the gospel, those of you that have been saved, have received the Holy Spirit, God is in you. Rely on the Holy Spirit to help you share the gospel. Okay, we'll get to more detail as we go. He keeps on preaching, and he keeps his preaching and teaching simple, Paul does, so that people can understand. In my almost a little over 30 years in the insurance industry, my main position was as a corporate trainer. And so I had to take complex things and try to make them simple for people to be able to understand. And I've tried to do the same thing with the preaching as well. Don't you agree? Many times the Bible can seem complex. Anybody else with me, or am I the only one that thinks it's hard sometimes? Can I tell you this, that sometimes when I read something in the Bible, I don't understand it the first time. Can I tell you that when I read the Bible, sometimes I don't understand it after the 10th time? Okay? So I pray for the Holy Spirit that's in me to help me understand. I pray, but I also study. And then I pray some more. And then the last thing I do is I pray. My constant prayer to prepare for messages each Sunday is this: Lord, help me understand, and help me make it understandable. Verses 6 and 7. Yet when I'm among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to the world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan. And that, what is the mystery of God? He says it's his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. Did you catch those two words, mystery and hidden? Sounds like the first part of the title of today's sermon. Now you don't see it. Now you don't see it. So what is this hidden mystery? Well, for the longest time, people didn't see it because it is the cross. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's the fact that God came to earth in human form and offered himself as the sacrifice for our sins. Why did he do that? Well, we've all sinned, haven't we? We've all gone our own way and we have sinned. We have rejected God and rebelled against him, and this has created a problem for us. So, God took on flesh as a baby, and that's what we celebrate at Christmas. He came to earth as fully man and fully God. He was 100% a man and he was 100% God. Jesus lived under God's moral standards while he was here. And then he was crucified on a cross. He was buried in a grave. And 3 days later, he rose from that grave. That's what we celebrate at Easter. And everyone who places their trust for salvation in him will not face the penalty for their sin. See, that's the thing. We're all facing a penalty for sin until we accept Christ. Now it's been paid for from our Savior. What I just shared there is about a 15-second summary of the gospel. We can zoom in onto the gospel for more detail. We can zoom out and get even broader. But all we have to do is say what I said to have the message of the cross being understood. Well, let's go to verse 8 and 9 next. But the rulers of this world would not have understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, and I love this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So there it is again. Now you don't see it. Eyes haven't seen it. Ears haven't heard it. Mind hasn't comprehended it. Well, let's move on. Verses 10 and 11. Maybe we'll get some answers from this. But it was to us that God revealed. Now I think we're going from now you don't see it to now you do. But it was to us that God revealed these things. How? By his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and then shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. Wouldn't you agree? And no one knows God's thoughts except God's own spirit. Look at verse 12. Here's the answer. And we, those who accept Christ as their Savior, and we have received God's Spirit so that we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. How do we go from not seeing to seeing? By having God's Spirit in us. The Apostle Paul just revealed how we go from not seeing it to seeing it. The way to know or see God's thoughts is to have God's Spirit. And when we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are given the Holy Spirit. I'm going to probably repeat that if I haven't already some more times. Verses 13 through 15. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. In fact, it all sounds foolish to them and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Verse 15, those who are spiritual can evaluate things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. It's the Holy Spirit who abides in us that helps us understand God. He helps us understand God's Word, the Bible. Now, what I need to remind us all of is this, though. Your spirit continues to live in you even after you've received the Holy Spirit. So there are times that we have issues in our life that we wrestle with. It's like, I know I should do this, but I'm feeling like I want to do that. And there's this tugging. Well, our spirit, lowercase s, wants to do one thing. God's spirit, after we've accepted Christ, capital S, wants to do something else. And that's where we have this tension that goes back and forth. Here's the good news, though. As we grow in our faith over the years, our spirit becomes more aligned with God's spirit. And the two will become nearly the same. In fact, here's verse 16 is going to give us the proof of this. Paul says, who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who can know enough to teach him? And then here's the answer. But we understand these things. Why? For we have the mind of Christ. Over the years that we go from growing in our faith, reading the Bible, listening to teaching, listening to others as they grow in their faith, our little spirit becomes more like God's spirit because our mind is changed. And that's where it all starts. And the Bible tells us that our mind is renewing every day as we walk with Christ. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, we go from now you don't see it to now you do. Well, I'd like to finish today's teaching by focusing on one of the verses we already read, and it's verse 9, probably one of my favorites. I love the mystery behind it, but I also love thinking about, because it says that no eye has seen, the most brilliant people in the world have not seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined, and we got some people with great imaginations, what God has prepared for those who love him. We cannot imagine all that God has in store for us, both in this life and even in the life to come in eternity. But the Bible tells us this, that he will eventually create a new heaven and a new earth. That's in Isaiah and Revelation. And it's there that we will live with him forever. As I was doing some research, just broadly about these verses and such like this, I came across an article, and it was a long article, so I just got a section of it, but it's quite a bit to share with you, from a magazine called Answers. Now, have you ever heard of the company called Answers in Genesis? Doesn't seem like anybody has. Have you ever heard of the Creation Museum in Cincinnati? I bet several of you have. Have you ever heard of the Ark Encounter in Northern Kentucky? Yes, several. Answers in Genesis is the entity behind those two projects. So they have a magazine that they put out, and here's what it said that relates to what we're just reading about today. 2,000 years have passed since the resurrection of Jesus, and myriads of Christians worldwide are gazing into heaven, expectantly awaiting his return. At the same time, powerful super telescopes continually scan the distant star systems looking for evolved extraterrestrial life in a futile hope to find proof that there is no God. But God's word makes it clear that we were created to commune with God and have dominion over his creation. We did not spark into life from a primordial soup or stardust without any purpose or plan. We know that the ultimate destination of Christ's followers is the heavenly state of the new heavens and new earth, which we generally refer to as heaven. Yet many of the details about that incredible, mysterious place remain hidden from spiritual realms. So that's where I go to the point of now we don't see it. Even the most impressive of telescopes cannot peer beyond our physical limits of our mortal lives. If we base our expectations about eternity on our current experience, in this terribly broken world will be hopelessly wrong. We can't begin to imagine the glories of heaven unless we first consider what the Bible records about life before Adam's sin brought curse upon creation. If heaven sounds boring, as it does for many people, we will not look forward to the incredible endlessness that begins when the effects of Adam's fall cease. We actually need to go back to the Bible, the article says. It's the only source of information about our past and our future where sin does not defile God's good purposes. The Creator has always intended for us to enjoy pleasures forevermore, the Bible calls it, at His side. Thankfully, the Bible reveals just the right facts about this otherwise mysterious place so that we can stay focused on what really matters, both now and in eternity. The article goes on to say this: what is it like in heaven? Well, the Bible tells us some things. We will live on a perfect new earth in perfect new bodies. All those prayer requests, not perfect bodies. We will recognize and be reunited with redeemed loved ones. And we will apparently be able to recognize people we've never seen before, as Peter, James, and John did at Jesus' transfiguration when they recognized Moses and Elijah they'd never seen before. Also, our bodies will be imperishable. Revelation chapter 1 assures us that there will be no more tears, no suffering or death. There will be no envy or selfishness, no injustice, no lying, no possibility of sinning ever again. Heaven will be even more amazing than God's original creation. It is clear that we cannot adequately imagine what it might be like. The Bible mentions its many mansions, splendid music, plentiful foods, crystal clear water. But heaven is not just a huge city park where we sit around doing nothing all day. For instance, there will be joy-filled work. The late evangelist Billy Graham wrote that, quote, "In heaven, we'll never grow weary or tired like we do here. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God, from that moment on, work became a burden for the whole human race. But in heaven, that curse will be lifted, and work will no longer be a burden. Instead, it will be a joy," end quote from Billy Graham. That was quite an article about what is yet to be seen. Now we don't see it. Eventually we will. And let me remind you again of this verse in Revelation 21:1. In the book of Revelation, it's actually called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's the revelation is given to John. So John is recording what Jesus is revealing about what's happening in the future. So Jesus says this and John records it. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared." But until he creates that new heaven and new earth, his Holy Spirit, which we already say we know we have inside of us, comforts, guides, and enlightens us. Knowing the wonderful and eternal future that awaits us gives us hope and courage to press on in this life, even with all the prayer request issues that are going on with ourselves, our family, our friends. Knowing there is this unseen future, heaven and earth, helps us endure hardship and avoid giving into temptation. We live knowing that life does not end at death, because this world is not all there is. And I'm about to finish up here. I'm going to reread that favorite part of scripture that I like so much. No eye has seen, No ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has in store for those who love him. That's where I came up with the title of today's sermon. Now you don't see it. Now you do. There is a world of things we cannot see today, but they will appear one day. And it won't be a magic trick. It's just part of God's plan to give us unimaginable surprises in the future. The last thing I'll say is this. But for us to experience this future world, we need to accept Jesus in this present world. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you again for bringing your word to light and helping us to seemingly take things that are hard to understand and making them understandable. Thank you. If we got nothing else out of today's sermon, we understand better maybe than ever before that when we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit is given to us, and so God himself lives in us. It's not that we have to go to church. It's not that we have to go to an altar. It's not that we have to go to a priest. God himself is living in us, and he's the one that can direct and guide and help us to understand all things, both things that are seen and even the things that are unseen. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful congregation this morning, this beautiful church and the church family as a whole. And now I ask you to bless them and make them go out and be a blessing to the world. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Are you heading out to the bulletin board area, or going to, oh, you're doing the offering. Yeah, I was going to have somebody post that on there. Thank you so much, Leah. We need a bigger bulletin. Yeah, maybe a three-ring binder.
Yeah.
Now, Jan, when she worked at the Church of God, and it was a big church, she, the bulletin was so big, multiple pages, she called it a bookitin. Yes, yeah. Lord, do you remember all those things that people brought up at today's service? Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I just enjoy his teaching.
Me too. Watched him twice today, two different sermons. So, yeah, I mean, if we know the specifics, I think it's good to pray the specifics. And when we don't, God knows. And we can rest in that, I think.
Sometimes I'm
guilty
of that myself, because unless I pull
the
stove,
of course, who can?
Yeah. I just
want
to run that.
Well, thank you so much. You're feeling good today?
No, I'm feeling better.
Okay. Well, at least you're here.
Yeah.
That's a good start.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you. You let me know when you want me to come visit on the porch, okay? Okay. What do I have? Well, I can only hope. I got part of the answer, man. He says I've got the answer. So, Gary, did you stay overnight in the surgery? Did you stay more than one night?
No. Well, you know how it is. You
want
home. You want to be home.
Yeah, oh, I know. Well, I had to go for my back surgery. I had to stay in the hospital a week and then go to nursing home for 3 weeks.
Really?
So, I mean, I understand. I also understand that the challenges.
Oh, yeah.
I had severe pain before I went into surgery. After surgery, the pain was gone, but I still had all that nerve damage that was done that surgery couldn't fix.
That's what that was his first, lower back.
Okay.
And it came all the way to here. Well, that's all. Now, this is up here. And then that thing right there is that simulator thing they put in.
Okay.
With the cords and everything that
okay.
go up to
okay.
this.
Okay. And that may take them a while to figure out what,
yeah.
what how to...
How much is that to put in?
Yeah.
But he's not feeling
great.
Real well.
Okay. But there's anything I can do.
Yeah, I know. And I told him that. And he appreciates it.
Okay.
He really appreciates it.
You never want to pressure.
He's anxious. He really is anxious to get better and get in here.
Really?
Him and Cindy.
That would be awesome.
And I'll be honest with you. Cindy is a big guy. And she's...
How are you, Marvin?
Cindy, please.
Yeah. Has she ever seen me in person? she, I mean, our congregation's got some large.
I mean, she's in
the Well, we're going, let's pray for the Lord to let that not be an issue for her. We're interested in souls here,
absolutely.
Not the body.
Thank you.
That's very encouraging. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Good, sir.
Marvin, good to see you as always.
Good to see you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you. What's that?
The pounds are dropping off.
Well, I can't even weigh myself except in the doctor's office, so I don't really know the exact weight, but the belt keeps getting tighter, and I go to smaller belts, so something's working.
Jeff and his family came last weekend, and he says, "Can you just tell me everything before your dad died?" And I did. And he said, "Your pastor did such a good job at that funeral." He says it's making his brother, my uncle Joel.
Oh, Joel! Yeah, I remember him.
Question everything. Yeah, he sat beside me at the funeral because they're Episcopalians.
Well, I remember him at the nursing home.
Oh, yes, yes.
Especially, that's where I got to know him better.
Yes, yes. And question everything. And if he's at the right church, they've been at that church for 60 years. I don't know.
I remember them talking about it.
Yeah, and they feed the homeless every Wednesday. They've just been very faithful and everything.
Yeah, they're doing good things.
I think it's your message.
Okay.
And so never not give a message at a funeral. Because you're really good touch.
Wow. Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah, we feel like you're...
Don't make me cry.
Everything you do. And just to see you walking, I was just thinking about that today. See you walking without a cane. And your message. And Tia, because she's on the fence. She's getting closer to God. She says she prays now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I have another friend at school that's praying for her. And God laid it on her heart to give her a blessing. It's working.
Okay, I guess I didn't know Tia wasn't already a believer.
No, she's had a struggle. I think because she's gay, and I think that's been a struggle to walk in a church. And I said,
okay.
A church would accept you. I said, look at my son, Tyler.
Yeah, so she's local here.
She is.
Oh.
She is. We went to Shenandoah together. That's how I knew her, because I was a fan. She was a color guard.
Yeah.
And I knew her son, her brother, Tyler. And then when I walked in at East and started teaching, she was my aide.
Okay.
And I could feel like God, and she's asking me to pray different things, and I see her getting closer to God.
Okay.
So just keep praying about that.
Yeah. Well, we won't worry about that part, will we?
No.
We'll just preach the word.
Exactly.
And let God do whatever God would want to do. If you think it would help for me to meet her in person, maybe to all us to meet for something to drink, coffee, iced tea.
Yeah.
Thank you, Margaret.
Yes. And we're praying for Jerry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah. But anyhow, I'd be happy to if you think that would open the doors a little bit more to me and then work her way toward these doors.
Yeah, well, I tried all last summer just to get her to come to our house and go boating.
Oh.
You know, just try that way.
Oh, okay.
And she just wouldn't. And then when Dad died, she came to my house to give us some bread because when something happens, she's the baker that will just bring it together. And I said, okay, now you know where I'm at. You know, you can come over.
Okay.
But I just think things are hard for her, not for us, because we've been through it with Tyler and all that. But
Well, again, I have a sister-in-law.
Yes.
Well, didn't know,
yes.
And then her daughter.
Yes.
So, and then Ross's sister-in-law is married to a lady.
Yeah.
I have holiday stuff with them, and I love both of them.
Yeah.
Same as I would love.
Yeah.
Anybody else.
And that's what I told Tia. I said, when you're ready to go to church, I said, I'll be very loving and accepting. So.